last week. But I want to look at this week at an element of faith that a lot of times we don't really look at. And it kind of has to do with, I was trying to think of an example here. I had the scripture that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Like ever, yeah, you had a lot of wives. I didn't hear the men. We need the men to pipe up, right? So when I was growing up, I knew that was true, but somehow I believed that my musical pursuits were more important than pursuing a wife. Well, let me just hang with me a little bit. So I believed in this thing about finding a good thing, but I believed in something else that was keeping my focus. So I wasn't taking any measures that would actually secure a wife. In fact, I didn't even date. I was terrible. I mean, was finding a good thing, it was terrible. I wasn't going to be able to do that. So what was really cool is God sent my wife to help me with that. Because even though I believed in that process, I needed some help on seeing myself in this thing and actually wanting it enough to become a part of it. Does this make sense? So what God did with my wife was he helped her present herself before me in such a way that it started to generate something in me that was called desire. Why did you bug your eyes? I thought you... Oh. Because as long as my desire for my classical guitar didn't make way for any other desires like this, I would not make the moves. And boy, did I ever get some moves. No, I'm just kidding. But what she did is so I'm working at a convenience store, night shift at a convenience store, and don't tell all that. She did nails. So my classical guitar, you need nails to play the guitar. And once I graduated from college, man, I started doing a lot of manual labor, and my nails were just shot. I couldn't even hardly play the guitar. So I found out you could do these sculptured things, you know, or they put that paste on there and they shape it, you know, and stuff. It's like, wow, that is cool. I can be a gnarly dude and still have nails that stay. It's like, you wouldn't think gnarly dude would have nails, but I needed those nails so that I could be a dark gnarly dude. Okay. That makes sense. So my wife found out about me, and because she had developed a desire for me, she took steps that were necessary to acquire me. And she told me that she would do my nails for my birthday. And that was kind of the end of it. Is that enough? I went there, and I go in this place, and it's all ladies in there, including Aretha Hagen. She was in there, wasn't she? She was in there. It's like Kenneth Hagin's.
What about the part where she used to drive around the gas station while you were working?
Well, she's wanting me to keep it short. So, but once she got me sat down in front of her, man, the seeds of desire were lit. To take my belief in finding a good thing from just belief to action. Does this make sense? And it's a necessity. Man, it was amazing. She's actually, I didn't have to try to hold her hand. I mean, she's holding my hand. She's doing my nails. You know, it's like, get the thumb working, you know, a little bit of a rubbing there or whatnot, you know. Why? Because something else needs to get us beyond just knowing something, just believing something. And it's a very real part of faith, I believe, that we can look at. Are you good? All right, let's look at this. So I'm going to add an element to faith that's beyond, and man, we're going to see this in Scripture. It's very clear. That's beyond just belief and actions. I mean, we know that faith without works is dead, right? It's not going to work. But did you know that it takes desire? And I would like to put another word in here because when you look these up in the Scriptures, they're interchangeable. But this word desire is actually hope and prayer. So when you pray for something, what are you praying for? Something you desire. Is that right? What are you hoping for? You're not hoping for the end of the world, are you? No, you're hoping for something you desire. Is that right? And did you know that till you get those elements, till you get desire associated with belief, you're never going to do what it takes to get it. Amen? I've experienced this in my body. Until you have some infirmity, I don't ever go to the doctor. Is that right? Until you're going through something where you need that for to be a solution in your life, you're not even going to access any answer because it's not an answer. And man, God is really this way. People don't, I mean, the whole world, Jesus gave his life for the whole world, didn't he? But who accepts him as their savior? Not just people, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people that believe in Jesus. I went to Nepal with my dad, and Hindus believe in all the gods. So the challenge is, how do you get them to believe in Jesus? Well, it's the desire side. What do they need? Did you know you can believe in all the gods in the world and only one of them's going to do anything for you? Right. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you can call it faith in something else, but not it's not really faith until your desire drives you to act like you really believe in what they can do.
Yeah.
Amen? So faith's elements are belief, which is information. Faith comes by hearing, but it's not alive until there's something else that happens with that hearing. Desire and hope are what the expected benefit is from what you hear, right? And then action is actually what makes it come to pass. And as soon as you go into an action mode, the power of God gets involved. We saw this last week. When you get a God faith going, there's power, there's grace. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. And man, I was looking at these because a lot of times it says, whatever you believe, right? Whatever you desire. Man, we're going to look at this because this is really critical. How many desire anything? All right, I'm going to get ahead of myself too much. All right. When things heard are hoped and desired, they produce action while they're still unseen. All right, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things, what? So basically, if you don't have any hope, doesn't do any good to have any title deed. Is that right? In fact, you're not even going to have a title deed unless you have some hope. Right? Of what? Of the things we hope for. And what are those? There's something we found out about. Faith comes by hearing. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So what is faith doing? It's saying, this thing that I can't see, I believe because of the information I've got, that because I desire it, it's already mine. Is that right? It doesn't say that it's going to come. It says, the perception is, It's a reality right now. Amen? So, there's information that comes, but it needs hope. It needs desire for there to be an action that calls it mine now. Amen? And I believe this is part of that substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what I'm going to do right now. That's going to prove. How do you know somebody believes something? Just because they say it? Just because you can read their mind? You know somebody believes something because they do something. Right? They're acting like it's true. But what causes that to happen? And the integral part in that, the catalyst, the thing that takes it from information to action is desire. What do you desire? Okay? All right. Let's look at this next phrase here. Desire, hope, and prayer. And I just want to call it faith catalyst. What is a catalyst? It's the thing you need for something to actually work. You need some gasoline if your engine's going to run, right? I actually need the spark. Is the spark the catalyst, right? That's what makes it go. What do we need in our relationship with God? Most of the time, we need a desire. All right? Now we're going to see that's a critical thing. It's not just whatever you think a desire is, okay? An expectation of fulfilled promise that drives faith's action. Don't you like that statement? Let me say it again. So what is desire? What is hope? What is prayer? An expectation of fulfilled promise that drives faith's action. Yeah. Not of a promise that's going to be fulfilled, a promise that's already been made, that's mine now, and I'm going to act like it's true. He gave me the keys to that truck. I'm going to go get in it and drive it like it's mine now. I'm not going to beg you for it anymore. I'm going to, please give me that truck. Yeah. No, you gave me the keys. I'm going to go get in it and drive it. All right, Mark 11:22. Desire motivates the action of prayer. And we're going to see, it's not just any desire, but it requires desire. All right? Nobody's without desire. So we say, well, that qualifies me. I'm good. God will give me whatever I desire. Well, let's look, okay? Let's keep looking. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have God's faith, right? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, it's interesting because a lot of times we just read that and we say, well, that mountain's going to move. But what isn't included that is in the next verse is a critical element. Why would you ever speak to a mountain? I just think I'll go out and move a mountain today. I just don't have really anything else to do. No, a mountain's in your way, right? A mountain's inhibiting the process of something else that you need done. So you have a desire, a requirement. Yes. And it's not just based upon a wish. It's based upon a hope that comes from a promise that mountain will go. Yes. And the next verse gives the key to this, and it's very important. Man, let's get this morning. Are we going to get this? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting this. I don't know about you. You look like you're getting this. Say that. Okay. Therefore, I say unto you, what things, now listen to this, what things soever, what? You desire. Is desire an important thing? Did he say, just pray for anything, whether you want it or not? No, he said, the things you desire. Desire becomes a very critical thing, doesn't it? Yes. And then you believe, you receive them, and you shall have them. And he's given the key to that. The action is in the part before, right? You speak to it. You act like it's true. Amen? Okay, look at this statement. So here's the problem, though. So if you're like me and every other person on the earth today, we have a plethora of desires that we say, oh, goody, I just get to ask for anything, right? So the problem is, whatever we desire, or is there a caveat to this? Is there something that says, you know what? He's not just talking to everybody. So let's look at some verses that kind of might challenge this. Anybody gets to do this. Anybody can. Anybody's qualified according to the blood of Jesus. But let's look how, which desires he's actually talking about. Okay? James 4:3. Asking is not effective for who? All right? For those other people in your life, not you. And if you ask, you won't receive it for your asking? Ah, this sounds like it's contradicting, doesn't it? But what I'm seeing is that if we're participating in a certain attitude of the heart, it's affecting our desire. What is it? That's opposite of love, isn't it? I want it for me instead of for them. You're asking with corrupt motives. Ah, so corrupt motives mess up righteous desires. Seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. Ah, oh, so maybe just everybody that, it's like, man, that guy has a beautiful wife. I think I'm just gonna start asking God. You know, people actually have done that. I would like that man's wife. They've actually done that. And, you know, they've actually acted in their faith to do it and just totally messed stuff up, right? Why? Because there's some things in the desire department that don't fit into this ask whatever you desire. So they need to be dealt with first. But then there'll be an opening up of what can we believe for? We'll go there. We'll live in that realm. But we need to understand that this isn't just talking about anything I want. Okay, here's another one. 1 Peter 3:7. Dishonoring corrupts God's desires. And all the women are just going to really salivate over this passage. But you husbands must be careful of your wives. And let's just look at the principle being involved here, okay? This is the principle of dishonoring, okay? Specifically for men in this passage, but I believe it includes all of us, okay? There's no male nor female in heaven, okay? All right. Your husbands must be careful of your wives because thoughtful of their needs and honoring them as the weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessings. And if you don't treat her as you should, what happens? To desires. What happens to them? They'll not get answered. Huh. So every desire doesn't incorporate with a God faith. This doesn't sound like grace, does it? It sounds like grace should just fix all your desires, make it to where they work with God faith. No, this is your choice. We actually have to choose God, don't we? Yeah. Choose his ways. So I want to look at four things. Can we look at four things here that will help us to how do we develop and nurture faith's God desire? So when God is saying whatever you desire, he's saying if that desire has become one with my desires. This is a critical part, isn't it? Yes. We can't just go start talking to every mountain that we don't like. It's going to have to be based upon a desire that has been nurtured by our relationship with God. Okay, so the first one I want to look at here is turn away from other desires. If you're hanging out with the world, your desires are shaped by the world, right? You have to separate from corrupting influences. if you're communing, if you're having fellowship with those who desire things that are ungodly, did you know that God is displeased with a lot of things in the world today?
Yes.
And if you're choosing to get your soul's desire gratified for fellowship with those who do not have godly desires, they're going to sway your desires, and you will have no confidence in being able to speak something that is in line with God's desires. Yeah. Delight in God's presence and word. So those are the things we're going to turn away from, right? But then there has to be an active going towards something if you're going to develop a desire that is a God desire. You have to delight in God's presence and his word. How many sometimes when you come in on a Sunday morning, just thinking, oh man, I'm just glad I got here. You know, it's like, I believe God. I believe. And then by the end, you know, we're finally like, oh, there's, yay, God, you know. Is anybody that way? Or stop pointing your fingers. Thank you, Tammy. Yeah, I got a response. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes. And all of y'all are just liars and we'll forgive you. Okay. But this delighting in God in his presence, how many delight in his word? You know, this is something that, again, his word is not something for you until you're getting an answer from it.
Amen.
And this started happening to me several years ago. I started saying, what do I really believe about God? What do I really believe about worship? I started thinking, you know what? I need to get some answers. I started getting up in the middle of the night and it's like, I started seeing everything about the word of God is about worship him. You know? Because that's the answer I was looking for. It becomes your whole life, right? And until God's thoughts are something that you're actually saying, oh, it's an answer for me. I desire it.
Yes.
I want to go look for it.
Yes.
The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is he's become our comforter. Jesus said you're not going to be able to go anywhere without him, that he's not going to be there for you. We never have an excuse for not having the presence of God here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
It's just whether we choose to enjoy his presence or not. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so we can speak things and we don't know what to say. We can speak and he's there. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
His presence. You're going to have to delight, though. It's going to have to be something that's like, yeah, that's I love that. I'm going to get some more of that, right? Okay. Exclusive intimacy with God and his word. Now this is just a little bit different level because you can just enjoy God. But Jesus said, you actually have to be in me and my words have to be in you. Amen? And this is a level of intimacy. What is that? That's where it becomes your identity. And what's going on in this? The development and the maintenance of a God desire that is critical for faith. Can you see this? Isn't this good? All right. I just got a little bit more. Are you hanging with me? Are you awake? All right. Isaiah 58:13. Getting desires in line with God's desires requires turning from ours. We're just going through these four things. Amen? Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then, now this is kind of interesting. So when you intentionally decide to set apart God from everything else, in front of everything else, and say, and this is, you know, we're not under the law, you know, and people can say, well, you actually are supposed to meet on Saturday, you're supposed to meet on, he's saying, you know what, I want you to dedicate some time to me, where it's only me. Now, why is this important? Because you're going to be punished for, no, what we're looking at right here is it's important because you're not going to have a desire that's a God desire if you can't even set aside part of God, your life to only be God's time. Amen? And if you got a problem with even liking to be around God, this is a way to get started with it. Just set aside some time. Amen? It's not all that hard. But look what this is God's side of it. He said, so now what's going to happen is now your faith is going to, your desire is going to take you to a God thing that's going to allow what I've already provided for you to become something that you stand in by faith to acquire. Amen?
Yes.
Then you'll delight yourself in the Lord. Who's supposed to delight you in the Lord? Yourself, right? And I will cause you, he said, when you're delighting in me, so who's he talking about when he's talking about whatever you desire? Those who have delighted in him. Our desires don't line up with the qualification for faith if we have not been delighting in him. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Don't you like that? Isaiah was declare stuff. This isn't just anybody talking. This isn't just somebody on the internet saying this is like a good idea.
Right.
This is God speaking.
Amen.
He's saying, I will help you with your desires. Amen?
Yeah.
And the first thing is to turn away from some other things. Turn away from some other things.
Yes.
And say, I'm going to just dedicate this to God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's kind of simple, isn't it?
Right.
But it has to become a part of our life. Our discipline. Psalm 1:1-3. Delighting in the Lord necessitates separation from other intimacy. Now, when I'm saying intimacy, I'm just talking about fellowship, right? What are we going to hang out with? What are we going to be entertained by? What are we going to open our soul up to? And saying, yeah, I agree with that. Amen? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That doesn't mean he doesn't hear it, but he doesn't walk in it. Nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his what? His delight. That's tapping into your desire, isn't it? Delight in desire. You need to write a song about delight in desire. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. And that sounds so boring unless you're getting your answer there. Is that right?
Yes.
Unless he's your source.
Yes. Right.
And then you're getting delight from it.
Yes.
Oh, I don't just have to listen to what the world says that causes me to be all anxious and oppressed, right?
Yeah,
I can be lifted up in my spirit.
Yeah.
And what does it say about that kind of a person? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, we're talking trees here, right? That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither. And whatever he does,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Prospers. Well, you can say, well, look at this other guy prospering. But if you want to get God involved,
right,
you got to get your delight involved.
That's good.
You got to place him in front.
Good.
Amen? And we looked at it last week. You know, you start doing this and you don't have to worry about falling because your faith is in the right place.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, let's look at this next one. His desires are a gift for those who delight in him. I really like this. This is revelation for me, okay? Can you hang with my revelation? Can you say, man, that's a heavy revy? Okay. Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. It sounds similar, doesn't it? But look at what's different here. He actually says it. He says, and I will gift you desires. Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't have to believe for them. It's like, they come like a gift.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that nice? But what do you have to do? You have to delight in him. Commit your way to the Lord. Now, what's he talking about here? This isn't enough to just say, I got all that delighting done in the morning. We're good. Now I can go do everything else I want to do. Got the God part out of the way. No, he said, no, really, when you're delighting in him, what you're doing, you're committing your ways to him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And what does he say? He says, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise God. Amen? Isn't this kind of cool how God works? He doesn't say, man, y'all just really need to feel really bad about what you've been doing. You really need to become mournful about this, mournful about that. You need to really kind of figure out how to work on this yourself. No, he says, just come delight in me. Yeah. Amen? Good. And in the process, I'll lift up your spirit. I'll be the glory and the lifter of your head. And you'll be able to speak to mountains. Praise God. Okay, delighting requires exclusive intimacy. John 15, 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Ah. So here, what's happening when we associate this with the previous verses, because it said anything you desire, what's going to happen when you remain in him and his words remain in you? I'm implying and I'm assuming that it changes my desires. Amen? Makes them into God desires. And because of that, now I can live and walk by faith because it will be granted. Isn't that cool? All right. 1 John 5:14. With God-aligned desires, and this is what I want to close with here, okay? This is cool. With God-aligned desires, there is certainty of predated provision. Amen? What I really like about this isn't something that finally I got my act together. Now I'm just waiting on God to get his act together. No. I finally got my desires aligned with his promises of what he's already given me. Amen? And so because of that, now I can be in faith. What is faith? It's believing that it's already mine. It's already mine. I don't need something else to happen for it to be mine. I don't need something else to appear. If he said it, it's mine. Amen? Now, my mouth helps that to become a reality for me. He's not going to dump it on me without me believing for it or receiving it. Yeah. All right, 1 John 5:14. Since we have this confidence, how many know it takes confidence to advance to the throne of God, right? Yeah. Man, this is going to help, isn't it? It's going to help our confidence in God's presence. Sometimes I've always just thought, well, if I can just not be bad, if I can just not, you know, be lying, if I can just not be doing these things, then I'll have confidence towards God. And you know what? He's saying, if you can get your desires aligned with mine, it will help your confidence as well. Amen? Yeah. If you can start saying, oh, not only have you made this promise for me, I want it so bad that I'm going to pursue it in how I live my life. Amen? Amen? So since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. Isn't this cool? How many have thought of yourself as like really bold before God? This is a critical part of faith. This is a critical part of our desires. Man, you get your desire lined up with God, and you've turned away from some other things and you're not fellowshipping with things that would cause you to desire. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. Amen. You know? But when you get it lined up, man, you can have confidence. Not only confidence, but boldness. You go there and now you declare things as if they are yours. You know what made the religious people so mad at Jesus is he could have all the audacity to say that God was his father. That was some major boldness, wasn't it? That's some major confidence. And what was really cool is Jesus made it so that we can have that same boldness, the same confidence. But we have to delight. We have to get our desires aligned with that. If we're not spending any time even desiring, we're not going to take any action of faith that will make it ours. Amen? And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, We also know that we have. Don't you like this? If he hears us, and I'm asking according to his will, based upon a promise that he said he's already provided for me in Christ. Now, when I ask, if it's something in line with him, if I've been fellowshipping with him, what does it say about its chronology? Amen? We also know that we have obtained the request we ask of him. Man, it changes things, doesn't it? Praise God. You know, this isn't some religious, wishy-washy, touchy-feely stuff we do when we're worshiping. No, we're putting our hearts in a place where they can be protected from doubt and fear. Amen? And kept in a place where their desires will produce what only faith can produce. Amen? Amen?